From the 9th chapter of Isaiah, "Nevertheless, the dimness should not be such as was her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy, their joy before thee according to the joy of harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor is in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and as garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and the fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel." Praise God for the reading and the hearing of his precious word. Birth is not a surprise. Now, I hear some people say when they have a baby, you know, "We had a baby, it was a surprise." Well, it ain't a surprise you had a baby. The conception was the surprise. Now, you were surprised when the baby started, but you knew that the baby was going to be born. For at least 8 months or 9, you've known that the baby was coming. It's not a surprise. You didn't know the month, the day, or the hour that the baby's coming. But as the time went on, you knew closer and closer to the moment came the time of the birth. And you were looking for it. And you know what? Only an idiot would not prepare for the birth of a child that you saw coming. And every day it becomes more obvious that the child is going to be born. And every day it becomes more obvious that the time is near. And there has to come a time that something needs to be done. Now, parents prepare for the birth of a child. They prepare a room. They get a crib. They buy up diapers. People have showers for the baby. And the lady folks bring in all kinds of things to help them out. People make preparations for the birth of a child. And hardly anyone, even poor people that don't have very much money, we go to the secondhand store, we go to the second round store, we go to the Goodwill, we collect the things that we need. And thank God we don't have to collect cloth diapers. Say amen, ladies. You know, aren't you glad that some things have passed? But we make preparation for the birth of the baby. We look for it. Now, this that I just read to you, by the way, is a birth announcement. Now, not many of us can give a birth announcement 500 or 600 years before the baby's going to be born. So you know if the father of the baby can give a birth announcement 500 or 600 years before the baby's born, you know the father has to be God. It couldn't be a human father. So we're talking about a special baby. We're talking about a baby that's going to be a king, a baby that's going to be wise. He's going to be a counselor. He's going to be so great, they're going to call him Wonderful. He's going to be literally the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. The great God that filled the universe, that created everything, is about to step across the line from eternity into time. He's about to break through the ceiling of heaven and come to earth and be doing something special. This is a special baby. By the way, all babies are special. I think they are anyway. And I think all babies ought to be loved and ought to be cared for and ought to be taken care of. All babies ought to be wanted. Even if it's a surprise that they're conceived, you ought to be in wanting the baby. You ought to be wanting the baby to be taken care of. It's sad in our country how many babies are unwanted. It's sad how many babies are neglected because people are so selfish. They want to walk in their own track and do their own thing, and they don't want to take care of the baby. Let me tell you something. When God Almighty entrusts, and I don't care if the baby's born out of wedlock, God put in motion the life-giving force that's in you, and even if the baby's born out of wedlock, my friend, that life is a gift from God, and you ought to take care of it, and you ought to love it, and you ought to do something for it, and you ought to bless it and shower on it the blessings of God. The baby didn't ask to be born. That was your decision along the way somewhere. And you ought to take care of these wonderful little babies. And by the way, when you think about it, God has used some unusual babies to do great and mighty works for his kingdom and the things that God has for him. That there's never been a baby as special as this baby. This baby that Isaiah is talking about coming is the most special baby that will ever be born, that ever has been born. There's never been a baby like this baby. He's special. He's a prophetic baby. Every page of the Old Testament talks about him coming, and every page of the New Testament talks about what it means now that he has come. But there's something really special about this baby. There's never been any baby, any time, any place like this baby. You know why? Because he's a human baby. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born, just like any other baby's born. He is every whit a human baby. Every whit a human baby, just as human as your baby. When Mary took the Christ child from her body, she had to cut the umbilicus and separate him from herself. She had to wash him off and clean him. She had to put him to her breast that he would get nourishment. She had to teach him as he grew. He was every whit a human baby, the same as I was a human baby or my children are human babies. But the precious thing about it is he was Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7, he talks about that he would be born of a virgin. Now, there's a whole bunch of modernists today that don't believe that's necessary. They don't believe that's true. I want to tell you something. I don't believe you can go to heaven if you don't believe Christ was born of a virgin. If you don't believe Mary was a virgin, I don't believe you can go to heaven. Don't you call my Lord a bastard. Don't you call my Lord an illegitimate child. They go around telling tales on Mary that she had an affair with a Roman soldier and Joseph took her anyway. They go around telling tales on Mary like that she had an affair with Joseph behind her back before they actually came together. My friend, that's all of the devil. That's Satan's lies that he's telling. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Mary never knew Joseph as a man and as a husband till after the Christ child was born. This is a child of prophecy. He said he would be God with us, Emmanuel. That used to be a popular name among people of our faith and in the former generations. They named a lot of children Emmanuel. And I understand that. That's a wonderful name. And it tells us that God is here with us. Now, this baby is special because God has sent a birth announcement 500 or 600 years before he's born. That's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. Mary had to make practical preparations for his birth. When she found out that she was going to have a baby and her body began to change and things began to happen, do you think that she found the swaddling clothes hanging on a nail and a rafter in the barn where he was born? I can tell you she made preparations. Mary had packed, when she packed the stuff to leave Nazareth and to go to Bethlehem, she had packed the swaddling clothes because she knew that it was time for the baby to be born. She packed little baby clothes, little gowns, no doubt. She packed things for the baby, and I'm sure, by the way, that she packed some cloth diapers because she wouldn't have had Pampers in those days. And so she made preparations. I'm sure that they knew sometime on this trip that this baby was going to be born. Sometime on this trip, this baby was going to come into the world. They had to make preparations for it. Now, I have to tell you something. The father was also making preparations. Not only did Mary get her swaddling clothes together, not only did she make preparations to take care of the baby when he was there, but listen, she was on earth, and her earthly preparations were minimal beside the preparations that his father was making in heaven. You see, in heaven, there was this wonderful thing called the plan. Now, God is not the idiot that we are, because we go around sharing everything we know, whether anybody else wants to know it or not. We just tell them anyway. We tell them all of our plans. We tell them everything we're doing. We're regular Gabby Gales. We just talk, and tell everything we know. God did not share the plan even with the angels. The scripture said the angels desired to look at it, but they couldn't. The holy men of God, like Isaiah, had no clue actually what he was saying. He had no idea how important what he was saying was. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all these people, they heard what God said. They wrote down what God said. They passed it on to us. But the New Testament says these holy men desired to look at it and they couldn't. The angels desired to look at it and they couldn't. My brothers and sisters, you see, in the mind and in the heart of God, from the very beginning, before there was ever a tadpole or a tree, before there was ever a cloud or an ocean, before there was ever anything, God saw Calvary, and God saw the end from the beginning. In the book of the Revelation, when John was carried into heaven on the Lord's day, and he was carried through the door of heaven and up the golden street into the throne of God, and there it was, all the magnificence of heaven, cherubim and seraphim standing all around, the 24 elders with their crowns, heaven just echoing with the praises of God like Niagara Falls rolling over and over through the portals of glory and all the wonderful things going on. And John said he looked, and in the midst, I love this scripture, in the midst was the Lamb. In the midst of all of this, all of the attention of heaven is on the Lamb who's standing in the midst. You know what the Bible said about him standing there? And said, I saw the Lamb, as it were, standing before the throne, as he were slain before the foundation of the world. What a mighty God. My brothers and sisters, the living God had a plan to save man before a man was ever created. He knew the plan of salvation that he would implement. You see, in heaven, when times came rolling around, God had been preparing for the earthly birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had been making plans, not yesterday or the day before. God had been making plans for thousands of years. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and he spoke to them in their disgrace, my brothers and sisters, he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he would come from the woman, how he would crush the serpent's head, how he would be victorious. From the very beginning, he made plans for the birth of his son here on earth. In fact is, he came and began to move even before, you know, you think, well, Shazam, here stands Gabriel from God and said, you know, blessed art thou among women, blessed be the fruit of thy womb. He's standing there talking to the Virgin Mary. You think, boy, God's on the ball. Let me tell you something. God don't wait till the last minute to do anything. And he don't wait till the last minute to make his plans. God had already set things in motion. Far away, hundreds of miles away, in the city of Rome, Tiberius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, the Roman emperors, were making plans to do a census of the whole world. And every person was going to have to go to their own country and to their own city where they were born. This had to happen years beforehand. You have to remember, they didn't have even snail mail very good back then. They certainly had no computers. Somebody had to carry the messages out the Roman roads. The Roman soldiers had to carry it to all the cities. And then they had to set a date and a time that this would happen. My brothers and sisters, God began to maneuver kingdoms. He began to maneuver kings and emperors and people of power to cause His Son to be born in the exact place. You see, long ago, He had sent a birth announcement through the prophet and said He would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Long ago, He had pinpointed the time and the place and the opportunity for Him to be born. And you know what? He had to move qualified people in place to get the job done. He had to put people in place to get the right things done. Mary and Joseph, they had to both be of the line and the lineage of David. How much engineering, genetic engineering, I wonder, or genealogical engineering, God had to do down through the ages to bring this to pass, where Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem, where He would be taken to Jerusalem on a certain day. Oh, my friend, if you could only see how great God is. Wonder when He created the star that the wise men saw. Wonder what part of the universe He moved. Wonder what matter He moved. Or did He create a brand new star from nothing? There are a lot of things we don't know. But I can tell you this, my brothers and sisters, He moved. And He moved angels. He moved Gabriel to go to John the Baptist's mother and father. He moved Gabriel to go to the Virgin Mary. He moved Gabriel to appear to Joseph in a dream. He did wonderful and mighty things. He was engineering the whole thing. And when I look back through the ages, how Satan tried to cause God to be a liar. Over and over and over. You see, as God narrowed the options down, He said, from this woman is going to come the Savior who will trample on the serpent's head. Or right away, Satan hates women. Right away, Satan's after women. Because you see, there are no female devils. Say amen, women. I challenge you to go to the Bible and look at it. There are no female devils. They're all spoken of as Him. They're all spoken of as He. By the way, so are angels. All spoken of. So men say amen. There are no female angels. But they're all male. And God is a man. And it's blasphemous to say God is a woman. It's blasphemous for these modern people to get up and say that God is a woman. God is a man. The Bible is very clear. It never speaks of Him as anything but He. And it says, in fact, it's one place it said, God is a man of war. That's pretty clear. I'm not real smart, but I think I can understand that. And God has moved angels to be there. A choir had to move to stand in the sky over Bethlehem. Angels had to come with the word. But think back through the years. Think back through the history. And I know when you get to Matthew chapter 1, you skip down almost to the end of chapter 1 before you read. Listen, read the begats. They're important. If you read through that whole genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find out that there came a time that there was only one child. One child in all of Israel who could sit on the throne of David. If that child had been killed by the devil, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ could not have been born, and there would have been nothing. God had to move and keep that child alive so He would not be telling a story. Let me tell you something else. If the country of Israel had not been there at that time, there would have been no way that the prophecies could have been fulfilled. If, in fact, my friends, there had not been a peace in the world that people could have moved around, and we call it the Pax Romana, the Roman peace that they enforced with their 357,000 troops that they had, my brothers and sisters, there could have been no opportunity for Joseph and Mary to have traveled, for all the things to have happened that happened. But the wonderful thing is, there was a country of Israel at the time Christ was born. There was a city of Jerusalem at the time He was born. There was a temple sitting on that hill at the time He was born. And my friend, it was possible for all of that to take place because God was preparing for the birth of His Son. You see, my friend, they were getting ready for the baby. They were looking for the baby. And all over heaven and all over earth, in kingdoms and kings' palaces, in hovels and in barns, God made preparation for the birth of His Son. Now, everybody should have looked for Him. When the wise men came, they knew where to look. They put their finger right on the book, chapter, and verse, and said, He will be born in Bethlehem. They knew exactly where He would be born and exactly the circumstances that would surround His birth. My brothers and sisters, how can you look at all of this and not realize how God was moving through the ages? But let me tell you something. How can you look at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book and look at the preparations that were taking place for Him to come and not think about His second coming? I want you to know something. I'm getting ready to see this baby that was born in Bethlehem. I'm getting ready to meet that little squirrely baby that laid there and kicked his feet and waved his arms and suckled at his mother's breast. I'm getting ready to meet him face to face. I'm getting ready to meet that boy that was up there that Aaron sang about a while ago when he was 12 years old in Jerusalem. I'm getting ready to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who walked in bare feet on the water of the Sea of Galilee and who calmed the storms, the God who cleansed the lepers and opened the blinded eyes and raised the dead. My friend, that God I'm getting ready to meet. I'm going to see Him. And you know what I want to do? I want to get ready for the baby. I want to get ready for Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When He comes this time, it won't be in a barn. And when He comes this time, He won't be a beat down person. He won't be a part of a group of people who are overcome by some other country. My friend, I saw Him in the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation on a white horse with the host of heaven behind Him, His vesture dipped in blood and on His thigh written. And somebody said, Jesus has a tattoo? Well, I'd say it was on His robe that was on His thigh. And on His thigh, it's a name written, which is the Word of God. And He comes from heaven with a sword. And my friend, He comes to Armageddon to fight the last battle that's going to be fought. It won't be much of a battle, my friend. The armies of the world will have gathered from every corner against Israel. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down from heaven, He's going to smite them with the sword of His mouth. That's going to be the end of it. It's not going to be a great battle. Oh, it's going to be a great battle in that it's so large and there's so many soldiers destroyed and so many armaments destroyed. But the truth is, my friend, as far as them laying a blow on Christ, they've laid the last blow on Him when they did it at Calvary. The last nail that went in His hands and feet, my friend, that's the last blow they're going to lay on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, how can you not believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? You know, if you knew He was going to come down the road here in a few minutes, you'd be making all kinds of preparation. Let me tell you something. They prepared for the baby to come the first time. They prepared in heaven and they prepared on earth. And now we're preparing for Jesus to come again. Nations are moving. Do you realize that? Do you realize what all this mess in Iraq and Afghanistan is? And all of this? My friend, you're talking about Mesopotamia. You're talking about Babylon. You're talking about Nineveh and Syria. All of those names from the Bible. That's exactly what Iraq and Iran and Assyria and Jordan and Afghanistan, that's exactly who they are. And my friend, an army that will march from the east, what's he doing? He's drying up the river Euphrates that the armies of the east can march westward toward Jerusalem. He saw it in Revelation that the Euphrates River and the great rivers will dry up. My friend, those nations are drying up. Can you see that Islam is taking over all of that? And my friend, when the Chinese army and those combined armies march eastward to Jerusalem, can you see that the things in the world are getting ready for Him to come again? Can you see that world evangelism is taking place? It's funny. Many years ago, when radio was a caution to us, radio was a big deal, you know, before we had television or anything, there was a word of prophecy that came here that from this place, the gospel would go out to the whole world. Man, we couldn't believe that prophecy. We thought, well, it must be the soldiers that get drafted and go out and maybe they carry the gospel with them. We couldn't imagine how it is. But listen, folks, every Sunday when I preach, the message goes out on the World Wide Web. You can pick the messages from this church up everywhere in the world. Do you realize that We're on three radio stations. You realize something, folks? That those radio stations are also on the World Wide Web, and people are picking up the messages all over the world. People are listening to the gospel just from here. Brother Morgan, when you take those tapes up and down the country, I know you weren't raised here, but Sister Morgan was raised in this work. That's a fulfillment of that prophecy. And when people travel, I can't count the ministers that have left here and traveled across the country. I just talked to Danny Deaton the other day, and he's going to Haiti this month and work in the churches down there. Brothers and sisters, that's a fulfillment of that prophecy. Can you understand that when the gospel has been preached to every nation and kindred and tongue for a witness, then shall the end come? Is that what he said? And my friend, it's happening. Not just us. I don't mean just us. I mean all over the world. Evangelists are having meetings in Africa and South America that it takes soccer stadiums to hold the crowds. There's a Pentecostal church on an island in Seoul, South Korea that has over 200,000 members. They have five services every Sunday, and they open the door at the front of the church and everybody goes out. And when they go out, they open the door at the back of the church and another crowd comes in and fills it up. And they worship God. They speak in tongues. They glorify God in the Spirit. My friend, can you understand that the gospel is being preached in every nation and kindred and tongue? Can you understand that the knowledge of the Lord is blanketing the earth in the atmosphere just like the waters cover the sea? My friend, what are we doing? We're getting ready for Him to come back. We're getting ready for the baby. He's already been here and they've already done their things to Him. And listen, my friend, the nations, the peoples of the world are coming in sync with what the Bible says will happen in the end time. Do you remember from the book of the Revelation? He saw the oceans and they were churning up and the wind was blowing and the waves were coming up and they were churning all over the ocean. And my brothers and sisters, he said, who are these oceans? And out of these oceans came great beasts and monsters that were rising up to do horrible things on the earth. And he said, these are the peoples of the world. These are the nations of the earth. And my friend, if the nations have ever been in a turmoil, they're in one right now. My friend, they're like iron and clay in the toes of the image in the book of Daniel. They do not stick together. They cannot be one. Even the European Union seems to be falling apart. Almost every alliance of nations is falling apart. And my friend, if you look at it, people are in a turmoil all over the world. People are unsettled. The Bible said in the last days the hearts of men would be failing, looking at the things that are coming on the earth. How we need to recognize, my friend, that we're getting ready for the baby to come back. He's been here and he's grown up now and he's coming back. And even the evil spirits. Do you remember in the book of the Revelation when it came down to the end time, somebody opened the door to the bottomless pit and a great horde of locust-like demons came out of the pit and inhabited the earth? The scripture indicates to us that in the last days, the demons of hell will go across the earth and will inhabit people and torment people and inflict pain and suffering on people. And my friend, somebody said the devil in hell. Don't I wish that's where he was? That's where he's going. That's where his eternal destiny is. But my friend, at this moment, Satan is on the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's running to and fro all over the earth and tormenting the human beings that's there. And even, my friend, the physical earth is revolting and raising itself up. Do you realize that we have almost 1,000 times more earthquakes a year right now than we did when Christopher Columbus discovered America? Do you realize, my friend, that earthquakes are happening with more rapidity and more severeness all over the earth than they have forever? You say, what's happening? Storms are happening. Droughts are happening. Famines are happening. You say, we always had them. Let me tell you something. We've got diseases right now that's never been known on the earth before. I am terrified every year when I have OSHA training and they tell me about the diseases that we have to watch for and fight in the society we live in. Do you know what Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease is? The coach at Beaver High School in, in Bluefield died from it. It's mad cow disease. And it's a disease that if you get it today and you find it out, you better be right with God and have your will made. Because within 3 weeks, your brain's going to turn to jelly and you're not going to know who you are and you're going to die. I mean, that's that simple. Do you realize, as hot as a crematory is, that the germs of Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease will not burn or die in a crematory? They will not die in a sewer plant, that they are resilient to almost everything? What do you think MRSA and VRSA are? Those are diseases that will not respond to our antibiotics. They're diseases that are there. I mean, we never heard of the viruses we have today. We never heard of AIDS. We never heard of any of those things. My brothers and sisters, the physical earth, my friend, is getting in sync with the prophecies of the coming of the Lord. And what about in heaven? Sometimes Lucille and I sing a song about there are things taking place in my home in the sky. Brothers and sisters, if we're preparing on earth, and if all these things are coming to pass on earth to bring Jesus Christ back to this earth again, wonder what's happening in heaven. They're going to have a marriage supper up there one day, not long from now. And somebody is preparing the marriage supper. People are going up to heaven. You say you believe that? Yeah, I believe people go to heaven. I believe they literally go to heaven. I believe their spirits go to be with God now. And when the resurrection comes, they're going to be resurrected from the grave. And physically, they're going to heaven. They're going to be human bodies in heaven, just like His glorified body that He resurrected with. And you know what He said? I'm going to what's He going to be doing? What's Christ doing? He said, well, He's making intercession for us. He is. And He's doing something else. What's He doing? He's gone to prepare a place for us. Sometimes we sing. We haven't sung in a long time. We used to sing it all the time. There's a mansion now empty just waiting for me at the end of life's troublesome way. My friends and loved ones, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has a place for you with your name on it. He has a place at the master's table for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and your name's on it. And He has a book called the Book of Life. And my friend, if you came to Him and repented of your sins and asked Him to come into your life and let the Holy Spirit come down and fill you, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, your name is written down in glory. You remember that old hymn? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. I have to ask you today. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. He has gone to prepare the marriage supper. One day the cry of the bridegroom is going to be given, and the doors of heaven are going to be opened, and He's going to receive all of the people that have been saved from the beginning to the end. And my friend, we're going to the marriage supper and to the place that He has prepared for us. Don't you want to go? I mean, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know Christ, my friend, don't you want to go? And by the way, if you are saved, don't you want to go? Amen. How many of you want to go? How many of you be willing to go if I got up a load tonight? Amen. I mean, it's got to be that close. Amen. It's got to be that close. You've got to be willing to be ready to go if the moment is right now. One day, the trumpet is going to sound. One day, the door of heaven is going to be open. And the door of grace is going to be closed on this earth. My brothers and sisters, I can see it everywhere. I get up every morning and listen to the news on the radio as I shave and get ready. What for? To see what's happened overnight, so I know my redemption draweth nigh. What did He say for us to do? When you see all these things come to pass, well, I'll just come to church once in a while if you feel like it. And if you ever get in a bind, pray a little bit and you know, try not to cuss and don't drink too many beers. Just try to live a reasonable life. When you see all these things come to pass, just sort of about halfway backslide and lay around and be lazy on God. Is that what He said? I don't think so. He said, when you see all these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. My friend, we ought to have our eyes on heaven tonight. We ought to be looking out across the universe. I walk out on starlit nights in the wintertime, particularly when there's no moon or anything, and I look out through those stars, and I think about, my God, my home is out there somewhere beyond the constellation Orion. There is the dwelling place of God, and I'm going to walk across that Milky Way one day. I'm going to be carried away with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going home to be with Him. My brothers and sisters, the baby's coming back, but He's a full-grown king now. And when He comes, I want to be ready. I want Him to find me busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing when He comes back. Maybe be like a girl used to play the organ for us a lot at the funeral home, and I gave her a hymn book. This is Jehovah's Witness hymn book. And I told her, I said, they don't have any hymns that we know, so you need to take this home with you, and you need to look at the music so we can at least play the hymns when we have to. So she took it home, and in a little bit she brought it back, and she said, I want you to keep this thing. And I said, well, why, Carolyn? She said, because Jesus might come, and I don't want Him to find it in my house. Well, let me tell you. What do you want Him to find you doing when He comes? He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. What do you want Him to find you doing when He gets here? Man, I want to be about my Father's business. I don't want to find Him coming. Find me like the story Jesus told, smiting my brothers and sisters and treating them bad. I don't want Him to come and find me lazy on the job with my talent buried in the backyard. I want Him to come and find me standing on my feet, declaring the whole counsel of God and not backing up for anything. Praise be unto God. Are you ready for the baby to come? They made preparations for Him to come the first time. Have you made preparations for Him to come the second time? Would you stand? As the choir comes to sing, we're going to pray. If you need to make things right with God, there's altars here ready for prayer and people ready to pray with you. And if you are not saved, we want you to get saved. God's still in the business of doing that, you know. If you are tormented with the demon, we want you to get rid of him. If you need healing, we want God to heal you. We want you to be encouraged. Father, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come into Your presence tonight and give You glory and honor. And Lord, we thank You for sending Jesus the first time. Thank You that He came in the likeness of human men, walked in our shoes and shared our sorrows, bore our griefs and our sins. And Father, I thank You that we have a sure promise that He's coming again. Father, I look toward the sky and I long to see His face, to look on His nail-scarred hands, to throw myself at His feet and glorify Him in person. Oh God, I pray that You'll stir every person in this building tonight. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gracious Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You'll drive away every demon, cast away every spirit that would hinder our worship. And Father, I know that Satan has endeavored to do that, and God, I pray against him. And I rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ, that he not divide our people, that he be put to silence, and that the joy of the Lord will reign paramount among us. Father, that we can walk in holiness and in righteousness before God. Deliver us, Father, from selfishness. Deliver us, Father, from self-centeredness. And help us, O God, to be Christ-centered and recognize that it's not us, but it's Christ within us. And God, I pray that Your Spirit will bless and touch each and every person here. And Lord, we give You praise in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. You can join with the choir and sing, if you will. It's a good old song, and it just goes so perfect with things we've been talking about, and it's called I Shall Not Be Moved. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you, and this whole congregation will act as a prayer team and pray for you. song on my heart for some time, and it reminded me of it. We were playing that song Sister Burton used to sing, I am determined to hold out to the end. And my friend, how many of us would say that tonight? I'm going to make it. I'm going to hold on to the end. I'm just not going to give up. I'm not going to let the devil take me. And let me tell you something, folks. You are going to make mistakes. You are going to fail in some things. When you do, do not let it cripple you. Do not let it take you down. Get up from it, dust yourself off, and say, devil, you're a liar. I'm going through anyhow. And pray through to victory. God has the victory for you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for Brother and Sister Morgan being with us. Thank you for the joy we felt in serving God. And we pray your Holy Spirit will be with us to bless us and touch us, sanctify us and anoint us, not only here, but every day. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.